unfortunately for you and in a certain sense for me, all the things can be covered in one semester at least. So I can only touch upon the main things which can be of interest. And in particular, I don't know, I may expect at least that some of you were interested in the last version time of machine learning. This is relevant in the sense that if one wants to construct some realistic models for important situations in finance, for instance, to Forex, one need to consider a lot of rather complicated models, which may be not very complicated from the point of view of standard situations for machine learning in natural sciences, but they have a lot of additional degrees of freedom, and these degrees are endogenous. So they appear when you try to construct your model. Namely, if you want to exploit arbitrage opportunity in real life, you have to construct portfolios of certain assets. And the number of points in time when you will have to rebalance your portfolio in order to be successful is rather large. You have a lot of models, you have a lot of possible strategies to use, and the total amount is absolutely. This is exactly the situation which I believe is non-typical for machine learning applications. Certainly in finance, a lot of people apply machine learning, but they apply it in a simpler situation, much simpler situations than the ones which will have, which I'm planning to eventually exploit. Because all people who use machine learning, artificial intelligence, and finance work with freely traded assets, liquid assets. For these assets, you have huge amount of data, variable data, time series, and you run more or less standard procedures. Here it will be simply possible. I will partially explain why in the talk. So, and an additional difficulty is that unlike a lot of applications of machine learning, at least I did not do it, but I read about it, that in many situations, surprisingly, even eight-digit precision is enough to obtain reasonably good results. With the models which I have in mind, that one of those I constructed with my co-author 20 years ago, and for several years I even did not push extensively because I had exactly a PC which had 8 digits, and I was unable to calculate accurately prices even of simplest securities. So I invented model, it is nice, it's reasonable, it become very popular later, but I cannot really sell it because I cannot do calculations. Here, in many situations, typically, luckily, in many situations, high precision is not necessary, but there are some situations when methods can work extremely fast, much faster than otherwise, but 16 digits is not enough. I will not be able to explicitly explain how the situation come out. Those who are interested may read papers, number of papers which I wrote and published with Crossers. It's situation related to barrier options, which are very popular, and exactly for these types of options, there is a very popular method which requires high precision in many cases, for instance. I can avoid this by using additional tricks, but it becomes more complicated, and until recently, it was too slow. Now, I've invented with my co-author some new variation, which possibly I don't know as yet. We did not write program for this new twist. Maybe it will be sufficiently fast, even with double precision, I don't know. So roughly speaking, We tried to write monograph about all these new efficient methods two times, now it's the third time. We wrote half a monograph, then we invented a new generation of methods. We stopped, wrote something like maybe 12 publications. Once again, wrote a half a monograph. Now we invented a new one, so we need to recalculate. It's rather straightforward, but it needs just routine work. And so those of you who are interested to learn something like that, and maybe eventually apply it in practice, I would be quite happy to explain to those who really want to learn and really do calculations how to do it. You will learn, maybe later we'll do some serious stuff. Okay, so now the structure. I would be surprised if I am able to cover all these topics, although formally the number of slides I can show is not very large. There are several pictures here, so the total number is something like maybe 55, not too much, but there are a lot of notions which most of you probably do not know. And there is a standard wisdom for teaching, even when I was a student, you cannot squeeze more than seven seriously new notions in one lecture. People will not be able to understand it. Not because there are some complicated calculations, but simply it's rather difficult to understand too many new things. So here already for 2 hours, it means that 14. If we meet this one, and this is exactly, here it's just outline to list other more complicated situations. Everything else contains not much more than 14, so maybe you will be able to understand more or less what's going on, and you can ask, of course. The last part I added just separately, because for the main part, it's not needed. It's not needed in the following sense. As far as basic notions are concerned, replications will be covered on the level of extremely stylized model in the beginning. So once you understand this basic model, you understand what does it mean. This part, several slides which explain how this notion really is used in practice. So this notion is something which formalizes something which does not exist. And now it's, in 2 days, there will be anniversary, 20 years of the first instance when people who managed to persuade themselves that Black-Scholes model really is the real life got in serious trouble, up to the level that a lot of people expected that it was already 1929 and it was time to jump from windows on the Wall Street. So on November 19th, there will be a Black Monday when the main indices dropped by 19%. The next day, it dropped by 10% and the drop stopped only when one guy eventually on the Wall Street understood what was going on and started to phone everybody, just stop machines. And the reason was that replication is very nice idea, very neat idea, which Merton invented when he reformulated the initial idea of Black and Scholes about hedging in a bit different language. So mathematics is essentially the same. I was rather surprised when I read in the book by Darman, famous quant who worked with Black, and he wrote in his book that the Black for a long time did not believe that replication argument worked, and Darman just obtained the proof, quasi-proof, that it did not work. Black was happy. I just don't understand how exactly they managed not to believe or did not do correct calculation, because if you really look into lines of calculations, essentially the same, and if you think about it a bit more, it's exactly the same idea. And the idea is fundamentally wrong if you look carefully at the real life. But it's life. But it's very convenient. Exactly exactly this idea of replication is the reason why the notion of financial engineers appeared. The idea of replication, the framework of Black-Scholes model, it's exact science, and for a number of years people really believed that it was exact science, which was rather strange until a lot of problems appeared. So we can manufacture something new by using some general principles. Very neat idea, formalized as exact mathematical statement. The problem is that it simply cannot work in reality if you really look at underlying assumptions. So you make certain sort of assumptions, I will show it, but that you really can do that. The problem is that all these assumptions are not absorbed in reality. Neither. Just neither. No. Okay, so you apply this idea, you construct new securities, you replace of real securities by these artificial ones, trading portfolios, and you're quite happy. So 20 years ago, a bit before that, a group of three financial guys, one of those rather famous, Leland, by the way, I forgot, I remember that he was connected to some other, I remember, but I don't have time here. He produced several ideas which were clever and rather dangerous. The first one, Leland and two other guys, I don't remember their names, designed so-called portfolio insurance, which means that they designed programs which replicated the prices of put options. You will see what it is. So, from conceptual point of view, the role of put options is that you can insure or you can bet on large losses in the price of stock, index, whatever. So, and those options were a bit too expensive from the point of view of this idealized Black-Scholes theory. So instead of this real-life put options, you construct portfolios which replicate put options. And your program will construct a portfolio and you will insure yourself against large losses. And the three guys sold those programs to all banks. Everybody used them. This is, by the way, very important. When a lot of people do the same, that always leads to trouble. Exactly because this first Black Monday is exactly the first case of absolutely generosity. When everybody does the same using this artificial theory, eventually there will be serious trouble. The more people do the same, the more trouble comes. By the way, now, if you read publications about what's going on in financial markets, a lot of people do exactly the same for quite a long time. So how exactly it will happen here, I don't know, because I do not know exact details of these constructions. So what will be the trigger which will make people decide that the prices they used to trade is incorrect and they will change their perception? I don't know. When there was a previous crisis, the last one, I knew in advance that would go on. It was rather surprising for me that a lot of people did not understand it. Some people in real market, of course, I was not the only clever guy. A lot of people understood them. Some started to bet that crisis was coming several years before it came. As a result, lost a lot of money because they were too early to understand that those who appeared just before the crisis were lucky and got millions, just because they were on time. It's very easy to understand that the crisis will happen, but to guess when exactly it will happen and when the majority of people in the real markets will understand it, something extremely difficult. It's not a question of any science at all. Even if you understand what's going on, one needs to feel extremely well the psychology of all these people, and there are a lot of examples in real life when very clever guys in finance did not understand. For instance, Soros, who probably was the best guy who felt what's going on for the last several decades, was almost ruined 15 years ago. Oh, sorry, Black Monday is not 20, 30 years ago. Soros almost ruined 20 years ago when he started to bet that there will be this internet boom crash, but it started to do it too early. It was almost ruined. The crash came, but much later than it should have come. Other people were somehow too serious or did not feel that why they should be so serious. They did not see that this internet evaluation, tech boom evaluations were absolutely correct. So they sold this program, Leland and Company, which insured against those. What exactly did it mean? If you look at the formulas, standard formulas in Black-Scholes model, there is so-called delta of the option, head generation. How much of the underlying you must keep in your portfolio in order to replicate options. If you look at the formula, you will see instantaneously that when you hedge put option, the more price drops, the more you should buy this underlying stock. The more price drops, the more you buy. If a lot of people, the more you want to sell, if more people wants to sell, what happens to the price? Price goes down. You once again sell. And all programs sold and sold and sold until they were stopped. Okay, it's just illustration. But as underlying idea, replication, it's exactly what the idea, to some extent hedging, but replication much more. Because you can create a lot of additional things, invent new securities, you know how to hedge them, it's necessary how to replicate them by existing securities. And it's necessary to hedge and replicate because new securities, essentially, with the exception, never are traded extensively. You always have serious things because this theory, as a matter of fact, works as mathematical theory only if you assume that you can trade continuously. If something simply does not trade, nobody buys sell or almost nobody, what's the point? You do not have the data at all. So you can guess the price and you want to hedge it somehow. So it's absolutely just work. And hedge it portfolio allows you to make sure that you do not lose too much. And by the way, the problem, as I said, with standard approach to machine learning, for a lot of types of options, there is almost no trades. Even if there are trades, most of them are private property. For instance, barrier options are very popular, but each trader keeps prices for himself. Banks provide theoretical prices, which, as they claim, they calculate to the market. There is a field, you can buy this data. The problem is it's not real trades. If you look at this data, you will see that this data somehow agree with popular models. Namely, typically Heston models, sometimes even with Black-Scholes, which is absolutely crazy. Agree very well. If you look at the price on the line, say Forex, or even simple options, such as European puts and calls, vanilla options for which there are plenty of data points, you calibrate the model for vanillas, and this model never is similar to Heston model. From the point of view of theory, Heston model simply cannot be correct because, once again, according to theory, if somebody prices barrier options by using Heston model or something similar, this guy creates for you arbitrage opportunities. How exactly you can exploit it is a different story. This is exactly why I mentioned in the beginning that you can try to construct something which will bring you a lot of money, but you will have to play with a lot of strategies to select the one who will create. So I can bet that there are those opportunities, and maybe very large, but in order to demonstrate it, one needs to do a lot of things before you demonstrate it can. If it's done, as with many problems related to finance, it can be solved for huge money. But first you need to demonstrate, working with real data, that your program really produces something. It is there. But in order to demonstrate it and construct working program, a lot of routine work must be done. As a general picture, well, I had this picture, if you like, this is the reason why I moved into this field 20 years ago, because I knew that I can do something like that. As I said, first, I was unable to find Okay, because the first several years I was unable to calculate prices accurately, even for simple securities. Then I was able to do it, but I wasn't able to get the data for Barrier options and to play with something without exact prices is much more time expensive. If I had the prices, I could simply take some of models which you have in mind, calculate prices, and show that they are correct. But I do not have real prices, so I need to invent some way to demonstrate it, something like that. Suppose I buy some options from bank, and I construct strategy which almost always will give higher payoff at the time of expiration. So I construct portfolio which will involve this option and which will give me arbitrage opportunity. As a simple example, I will demonstrate it in stylized model how it approximately works. Only in real life, you do not just buy once. You need to buy, sell, depending on what happens. And you need to choose moments in time when to do it. So it's something when any practical program will have to play with. Okay, so others. So here is just some general things about replication. More details why people like this idea. This is just the list of mathematical things which really appear when you want to price to make calculations in complicated models. At the formal point of view, you can use Monte Carlo simulations for everything, because as I will explain, the most reasonable way to look at prices in the market, and in fact more or less traders for many years think in this form, you invent for yourself some model for price dynamics and you calculate price or derivatives as expectation. You need to forget expectation. If it's expectation, you can run Monte Carlo simulation. The problem is that even for simplest models, simple Monte Carlo simulations, standard, you're extremely slow. So it's absolutely impractical. Absolutely. Makes absolutely no sense to me. Okay. You may try for some more or less simple situation, you may try to use this kind of technique, which is here, to calculate probability distributions, which you need to do Monte Carlo simulations, much more accurately and use it. And the results are much faster than maybe in some situation it can work. I don't know, because even with the most efficient versions which I have, which are better than everything else which people do in this space, still the time is not extremely small. Okay, now related thing to calibration. We will do calibrations, why it's necessary to do something sufficiently accurate. I have a number of examples for several types of options with real-life examples, including an extensive study at Credit Suisse in London, in risk management, option prices for, I don't remember, 10 years, within 10 years, so very extensive, which demonstrates that with standard approaches, you do not get you get a lot of significant errors, which are, for instance, absolutely unsuitable for risk management purposes. I don't know to which extent it might be important for traders. For risk management, certainly, it is not suitable. Some of standard methods which people use lead to huge errors when you consider options maturity 3 years. In some examples, which I have also for some real-life examples, even for 0.5 years, the result is absolutely crazy. Although you will not notice, because this is the point. So your program will produce something. The something will look reasonable, but it will be absolutely incorrect. So a typical situation is something like that. So to calculate distribution of something. Suppose something like that. In reality, it may be something like that. Okay, here, of course, I seen much better on the lobster. So your program, which is not good, produces something which can be realized, but it is not. It is rather typical situation. So you have very serious errors exactly when they are most important. Entails, and the fact which I expected it, nobody ever thought about it, I don't know why, maybe because most of people who work in the field are probabilists by training, and they do not feel calculus. From the point of view of calculus, you also expect serious errors near the peak. I will show you examples. Without additional tricks to increase your accuracy, you will always get something correct here, something correct here. In the result, a reasonable model which is correct and which is like that will be rejected by your program automatically. Suppose the reality corresponds to this one. You take points which are here, here, here. The program calculates the error between the observation and the theoretical prices. There is too large. The model is rejected. So you will see only some small part. It happens always. The question is how serious it depends on the situation, requires separate study. For risk management purposes, it is unacceptable. Nobody thought that one should allow for this percentage of errors which standard programs give. Nothing to say that they make calculations slower than my method. And now, yes, these results are published in the journal RISC, one of the main, or maybe even main, journal for people who work as quants in finance. Now we have even more efficient method, faster and more accurate. So this I call sundial calibration. You will never see the correct model if it is a model for which your program will not calculate prices correctly. And as I said, standard programs, especially with prefixed parameters, can calculate prices accurately only for relatively small region in parameter space, just by construction. All of them. Especially for options of long maturity, very short maturity in the tails, and if you are close to maturity near the peak. Situations near the peak for short maturity is most of interest because it's very difficult to expect that the price will drop by 10-20% during a day. But small fluctuations are possible. And you take that into account because you are concerned that during the day nothing serious, you will not lose too much, and your calculations will be always incorrect, and you will choose incorrect model. Maybe for situations you work with, the model will work more or less okay, maybe not, quite often not. And the situation here is as follows. People use for calibration something for which a lot of data is available, namely European put and call options, vanillas, and then they use calibrated parameters to calculate prices of barrier options. For barrier options, I have a number of papers where behavior of the price near the boundary is compared, and near the boundary, the difference is huge. Here is the boundary one. Okay, let me write it in this form. So suppose it's T. Here it's barrier H. And your option expires. So down, sorry, no touch option. If you your trajectory goes to this point, you will get 1. If it stops somewhere here, your option becomes useless and expires. Now, if you plot the value of the option near the boundary, the situation is like this. Diffusion models and models with jumps over sufficiently nice nature The price behaves something like that. If you can see the models for which a lot of empirical studies are done, and the claim is that they are much better than these diffusion models, then, as I calculated long time ago and published, the price behaves like this. So here, when you are close to the boundary, you cannot rely on standard models, and by the way, here exactly an additional unpleasant thing. According to standard prescriptions which people in this use, you must trade a lot when you're close to boundary, which means since in theory all there are no transaction costs, all trades are costless. In fact, there are not. You simply cannot trade a lot. Instead of that, you invent something else. My point is that whatever you invent to do something here and you have in mind this model, your price will be maybe 10, maybe 100 times less than it should be. On the other hand, so here the region the real price is high. On the other hand, if here the price will be low. So it's quite possible. It's quite possible that a lot of people buy barrier options from banks paying more than needed here. Then when the price during some period goes close to the boundary, they think that the option costs much less than it is. And it's systematic. If I am to believe, I have no reason to believe. My former student, who is vice president at Credit Suisse, did this extensive study several times. Really, this type of model agrees much better. Although formally, his bank, they use this type. And the reason why a lot of banks are using models of this type, because at the level of theory, you can make life almost riskless if you believe in this model. When about 15 years ago, I tried to explain my models to one guy from bank, he asked me instantly, how I will hedge? I told him, it's impossible. Oh, how I can sell this model to my manager? I must make life riskless. When the two brass wants to feel that life is risky, they want to have number, I produce the number, everybody is happy until something happens. Okay. Now let us show, hence the model I just mentioned, it is written here. Post calibration. I have some nice examples. So once again, all examples which I did are either just from practical activity at the bank or from papers where people use this example, examples to illustrate the numerical methods. There are situations, and one of those is shown on the slide, when people publish a paper, they calibrate something to the data, and they produce parameters. The problem is that you use these parameters to calculate prices accurately, you have differences starting from 3-10% or something like, I don't remember, 100-200% to the same set of data points. So you calibrate something, you see something, like a ghost. You see something. The reason why you see something is that when you do calibration, you have two types of error. One type of error is something which is on everybody's mind, the model error. What is the correct model? But the problem is that there are second error, the error of your numerical method. And the sum of errors behaves completely different quite often than the error of the method. In the result, you have the sum of errors, something like that. Just very artificial example, one parameter model. So suppose the error of the method behaves behaves like this one. Which means, by the way, if you really do calculation, I noticed first this effect, there are situations when the model formally can be calibrated very well. The model which is used in literature, the situation which is used in practice. The more you move somewhere, God knows where, the better is agreement with the data. The reason is exactly that the number of parameters is very close to the number of data points in some situations, which means that, in fact, this model is simply unsuitable. You cannot expect that there is a reasonable model which gives good fit when some parameters are extremely large. But if you calculate prices incorrectly, you have an additional error, which is typically organized like that. When parameter moves very far, the error increases. You observe the sum. And you observe clear minimum of calibration error. Very well defined. Any program which looks for a minimum will find this minimum very fast, and you happily declare, as a lot of people declare in financial literature, you calibrate the model by using this method, which is, as I know perfectly well and demonstrate in our situations, which is very inaccurate, and we obtain the calibration results very fast, and here it is. This model is better than this one because it's calibrated much better. There's something which happens essentially always. Okay, that also. This part exactly how to do this calculation secretly fast, so we can rely on these calculations in your problem. This is exactly the tips which myself and my professors invented. They're not extremely complicated, but they require marginal knowledge of complex analysis. As a matter of fact, one needs to understand what does it mean. One needs to remember about four or five basic facts, and after that you have some general procedure which requires some calculations at the level of calculus, ordinary calculus. Ordinary calculus, which at least at my time would be homework for first year students, maybe second year at most. There are several pictures. In order to understand, you need to feel a bit complex analysis. To some extent, just to tell you, exactly because calculations which are based on Fourier transform are the only efficient ones in many situations in finance. In finance, people use Fourier transform starting 1992. Keston model is exactly the first model where more or less reasonable calculations were made by using Fourier transform. So it's 25 years. Everybody who prices derivatives in financial markets uses Fourier transform for 25 years. It's not obvious. The problem is that they do not use it accurately. And in order to do it accurately, one needs to understand a bit, but this is not really complicated. Okay. So now I will go to standard line. So the standard line, as it is in textbooks, starts from something which appeared after Black-Scholes model. First appeared Black-Scholes model, which is model for Brown and motion in continuous time. The problem is that a lot of people in finance did not understand and do not understand continuous time even now. Not even, as my daughter, who was at that time at the University of Chicago, was told by one of her professors. Okay, when I was young, 15% of people in finance understood continuous time finance. Now only 5% understand. It was something like 10 years ago or 8, I don't remember. So now probably it's even worse. But formally, if you really want to work something and not just write some vague words, you use Fourier transform. They use Fourier transform. In many cases, they do it incorrectly, but they know that they must use it. Okay, so this is something which appeared first. Black-Scholes model, which model continuous time of Fourier transform, Black-Scholes model. Then, since only 15% understood what continuous time means, even at the level of hand waving, people started to invent simple explanations. And so the next thing, which now becomes the first one in textbooks, is some highly stylized models in continuous time, which explain the meaning of the notions of arbitrage, replication, complete markets, etc., etc. It's a level of very simple notion. This is what I will stop with. After that, I will demonstrate what Black-Scholes model is, what underlying assumption, what is Black-Scholes equation and formulas, just in order to explain why in this situation I even do not reproduce the proof, I only make the formal statement. Here is the equation, here is the formula. Well, first of all, this formula does not reflect reality at all. And it was understood exactly 30 years ago. This is Black Monday. Before that, people believed in it, after that, the truth was wrong. Several years ago, I was told that the city of London, people call it BS model, in different sense, not just letters. BS model. So the S model is, but it's something which everybody get used to, and people who are at least marginally educated use not formula. They use Black-Scholes, not equation, Black-Scholes formula as a tool how to express observed data. So I will show this equation. It contains several observed quantities and one unobserved volatility, which volatility of the Brownian motion, which in the Black-Scholes model must be constant. And before the crash 6 years ago, people really believed, and in practice it looked almost constant, beautiful spherical. For something like 15 years, life was beautiful, because everybody believed in the model and treated exactly as model says. The model says, whatever is your strike, and whatever is your current stock price, and whatever is the risk-free rate, the volatility must be the same. But it really was, which is surprising. Then problem becomes, and this volatility small, dependence of the, this what implies volatility. Volatility which you extract from the formula. As this device, it still exists, everybody expresses everything in terms in real markets. It's inconvenient, as a matter of fact. They just get to this idea and they continue to do it. There is not much sense if you look at it. And for instance, I did calibration, inverse calibration of the Heston model, we're using implied volatilities and and just prices, weighted prices. So this is something which people also use, but not typically. Typically, they use implied volatilities. And with implied volatilities, the accuracy of calibration is much worse. So it's not even good, something good from practical theory. Something people get. Okay, so if it's time for the break, we'll do the break, and then I will start this formal part. It's not the standard simplest example. Simplest example, which you can find everywhere, is much simpler. Just stock one object. Here, there are three objects. The reason why I have chosen it is twofold. The first, because the initial question was about cohomologies. After the talk, I will, in order to distract, because I do not see why it can help. It's just the way to express, nice mathematical way to express the thing, but why it should be useful, I don't know. You can formally construct complex and construct cohomology group and say that E is Tuca-bounded. Tuca-sided. Some additional assumption about this formula, you can say that it's integrated Lambda-bounded. Myself, I don't know how it helps. It's maybe a nice way to play and pronounce nice words, but otherwise I don't know. Okay, so this first is the second reason is that this situation is something where approximate arbitrage happens all the time. It is related to carry trade, if you heard the word. Millions of housewives in Japan and over China a long time ago. I read about Japan because it was before this openness, maybe now it's in China as well, just playing quirks, doing carry trade. It's not real arbitrage because from time to time they suffer massive losses, but for a long time it is arbitrage. Before something happens, I will just tell it in simple words what exactly in real life happens, but it's just real practical situation. If you trade on the spot market today, it never happens. Everybody notices that there is some discrepancy between exchange rate at the same location, at closed location, and you can do something. Next, as a matter of fact, in real life it's also impossible because there is always not one price, but bid and ask price, or there is some difference. Although it's small, it's perfectly easy, so it's another deviation of all the simplified assumptions. But even if you assume that there is essentially no bid ask spread, in spot markets you cannot typically realize this opportunity unless you don't know what happens. Maybe somebody needs money urgently and comes and sells it for any price. I don't know, maybe it happens sometimes. Then you can notice it and earn money. Typically, it's not the case. Okay. Next example, theoretical one, which is in the mind of people who do carry trade. Suppose you know that the price tomorrow, or in Forex, I believe people typically open position in the morning and close in the evening. So you guess what will be the price in the evening. And you construct arbitrage portfolio. If you keep your bond in your currency, and then at the end of the day transform it into the price of the other currency, you will get this sum. If you first transform your currency into currency of another country and buy bond, you will get something more. Very simple idea, quite straightforward. Just, you may write if you wish a commutative diagram, which is commutative, there is no arbitrage. If you move in one direction, you get something more than another direction. It means that there is arbitrage. You can sell an appropriate, you can borrow, for instance, an appropriate bond. Use this money. This is just typical picture of this theoretical arbitrage. You borrow something, you sell this something, you invest into something else, you wait for a while, you realize the price of the portfolio which you created, you buy the security which you borrow, you will return it, and something else remains for you. This is a basic picture of arbitrage, is exactly nothing else is behind. The construction is different, and in real life can be extremely involved. There was for that time, huge fund, long-term capital management, which imported in 1998, which were extremely proficient in Black-Scholes model for many, many securities. They constructed huge portfolios, they just rebalanced them, and almost always they made some profit. At some moment of time, they started to suffer sufficiently large losses, were unable to, not very large, 200 million, the fund was 4 million, so it's not extremely large, but other people did not want to lend the money, so they went bankrupt. At that time, people who worked in the industry got absolutely huge money, which now they do not have. Even regular salary for guys at this fund were 850,000, which is much more than today. And bonuses were sometimes up to 40 million. Now you cannot find place with these characteristics anymore. But certainly you will earn hundreds of thousands per year if you can work, if you can do some construction. Okay, so this is straightforward. You just notice that somehow, okay, you believe that that's not happening. In the case of exchange rate, it's very simple. This is why people do it all the time. There are many situations in real life when the government, due to various reasons, simply prop up the economy. Or, as other way, do not want the currency to go above certain level. But if you believe that in the near future the government will pursue this policy, that quite often this relation really is absurd. The problem is that from time to time government gives up, and then the rate drops, rises hugely. There was a case quite recently, they even planned to construct a model how to guess it, looking at behavior of the securities, when it was about 5 years ago. Everybody expected that Switzerland will drop the effective peg to euro. They kept it for many years, and people exploited this opportunity. A lot of money came to Switzerland, the prices of bonds went up. Eventually the government gave up, and the price of Swiss franc jumped, I don't remember, by 20%, something like, I forgot exactly, but by very huge. So those who at that moment tried to exploit this opportunity certainly suffered huge losses before that. There were some losses because it went up, by small amount, but eventually it dropped. And the same happened during the Asian crisis, for instance, in England, when this currency snake failed in 1992. Okay, so more realistic is an assumption.
What is more?
Ah, yes, it is just explained in detail for, how you exactly realize the formula, just this general use. You borrow something, you transform it, yes?
What's the R sub, and the last one, R sub 8 or R sub 2?
Where exactly?
Not in this one, more.
It's something which formerly used in finance return on US. So it cost, the value was 1, it become 1 plus plus RE. So rate of return on the bonds. You buy bond today, once again, it's the last example because typically it's something which in for a year, but if you're for a day, it's something, let's say, 200 times smaller than the rate for a year. If the rate was, suppose, on bond 2%, you divide it by 200, some portion 150, or that is not. Rate of return, sorry. I forgot to tell you. Certainly I should. Okay. So this is just detailed, straightforward calculations, how you do it to realize your artificial opportunity. And you will get something. Okay. In real life, certainly you cannot. You cannot know for sure, and nobody is absolutely sure. You allow that it may happen that exactly today the government decides to drop their policy and stop the currency, or in the case with Swiss franc, make the exchange rate artificial. You allow that this possibility exists. Okay. So there are two values, and now the question is, if both of these products which appeared, so initially we had one condition. Now we have two possible rates, and this condition holds for each rate, then certainly you will do exactly the same. Exactly the same. Even if for one rate is zero, in one state you will get nothing, if the other state realizes, you will get something. So certainly it makes sense to do this kind of thing systematically. Sometimes, if the inequality is strict, then in all cases you get something. If not in one state it's zero, in this state you will get nothing, zero, in another state you will get something. Once again, arbitrage opportunity. If the relation is opposite, you simply exchange the roles of country of currencies A and B. It's second solution. Now, really interesting situation, when it is between. So in one state you will gain, in another safety rules. What to do in this situation? And this is exactly this, okay, it is not really exactly the starting point, once again, on this informal hedging argument level, the same idea was derived differently and continuously. This is something like distilled version for simplest situation, as I said, to explain to people who do not understand continuous time finance why it works. Okay. We have two states, what to do? And the wonderful thing, as it was wonderful thing for Black-Scholes model, if you have one asset and riskless asset, then not necessarily riskless, in principle, in theory, you can have two assets, which can be not risky, it does not matter. Two assets, and you have two states of the future such that apparently there is clearly no arbitrage. Okay. Then, miraculously, you know what is the correct price of the security today. You do not need to have any statistics at all. You already know. And if someone, by the way, from a practical point of view, once again, all this theory works more or less as approximation. From a practical point of view, it means that if somebody does not act according to the theory, then there should be, and if deviation of his action are sufficiently large, of course, because there are always transaction costs when you try to exploit arbitrage, there are arbitrage opportunities. The question is how exactly they construct. In this situation, it's very simple. If you assume that the sequence will be as follows. This slide shows how you introduce some probability measure. And this general picture, which was understood in continuous time context independently before this artificial situation was arranged. The general situation which here has in mind is in mind of people who work is that you invent some appropriate model for assets which you use for trading. Some stochastic model. And stochastic model, not just something. Stochastic model which you use to calculate expectations or discounted payoffs of everything which you will include in your portfolio in the future. If you believe in your model, all prices must be expectations of discounted payoffs under this probability model. So in this simple situation, it's easy to see that there is under this situation, there always exists pi between 0 and 1, such that. So this just, at the level of simple calculations for school children, but the meaning is deep. You can reformulate something which you see on the right-hand side as follows. First, you have your payoff on your security. In one state, in another state. You have security, bond of the country A. You calculate price in currency A in one state, in the other state. Then you discount according to the riskless rate for the currency B. And you take expectation of this discounted payoffs. The result must be the exchange rate which you observe today. So the meaning is if you believe that the life is such that in the future there are only these two possible variables of risk percent. That's enough. You don't know anything about probabilities. Apart from the fact that all in this case is possible probability greater than zero and this is greater than zero. Possible. Then if somebody somehow wants to trade the securities one against the other using different exchange rate, you have additional continuity. So if you believe in some model, and somebody else makes calculations according to other model, you can exploit additional continuity. Fortunately or unfortunately, this general observation is true only for this simple situation when you can get rid of all risk, like this two-asset model and Black-Scholes model. If the model is a bit more complicated, in principle, different people can use different probability measures, different models, and there will be no contradiction, which in practice means, which really happens all the time, you create a new security. Quite recently, Goldman Sachs created a new security. And you start selling to other people. You try to persuade them that it is advantageous for them. In fact, you know that this price is advantageous for you. Try to pretend that it is, due to some reason, advantageous to them. If you manage to sell, if you believe in your model, you will gain something. Those people may be also very clever. They simply use different measure to calculate expectation. They calculate expectation from their point of view, and they see that they also cannot lose, maybe also gain. In principle, different people from the opposite sides of the same trade can believe that they will gain, and both will be rational, there will be no fundamental contradiction. This exact equality and only for one measure holds only for the markets which are called complete, where exactly perfect hedging is possible, replication is possible, life is absolutely beautiful, and in fact nobody should trade because everybody counts the value of everything the same by trade. So the crazy thing about finance is, I came from mathematical physics mostly. There are a lot of models where the mass of something is calculated just looking at the exchange of something between the subjects. The mass of elementary particles can be calculated by looking which particles they use to exchange between another. So the exchange defines the mass. Here the mass is defined assuming that there are no trades. In economics, situations when you can really calculate something, the calculations are made under assumption that you do not trade. Otherwise, you have continuum of possible prices, which different people can use. Okay, so this is exactly what I said before. The equation which was written before, you can rewrite it as price today of certain asset is expectation of discounted price tomorrow. It's exactly this very general thing. You can use different kind of models, different kind of process, the simple situation. If you take into account really the interaction between different agents, this type of argument will not work at all. You will not have linear pricing. The beauty from the point of view of simplicity of this kind of pricing is very simple, it's linear. Expectation operator is linear operator. Moreover, for number of models, there are a lot of efficient methods how to calculate expectation. This is why, by the way, this is the reason why financial markets are as large as they are. Before Black-Scholes, it was something I don't know. 100 times, maybe 1,000 times smaller than now. There was almost no options at all, even the simplest one. The fact why the model became so popular that there was this small corner of the market of European options, which nobody, almost nobody traded because nobody understood how to calculate prices. Yes?
What exactly is a European option?
What exactly? Well, I will show.
Okay.
it's really just... Okay, as general, it's very easy to say. European options or contingent claim of European type promises to pay something at specified time moment in the future. And the payoff contingent on the state of the nature. For instance, simplest options put and call, you have on the line, suppose stock S or index, forex rate, whatever. If this on the line greater than K, you get S minus K. If less, you get something negative, but the point, the name option means that you are under no obligation to exercise. So in this case, you simply don't exercise. And the payoff is for where your time T, strike price, no negative part. One of the simplest one. Put, it's other way around. There is even simpler things which are traded even more forwards. But with forwards, from theoretical point of view, there is nothing to do at all. It's just, if you have the data, it's exactly simple situation for machine learning, if you like. You have time series for the for your stock. If you have sufficiently long time series, just calibrate your model, and there is no problem. If something is really linear, this is the safest as is possible if you do not take, sell too many of them. Which happened, by the way, there was a famous story of Barron's Bank, which existed almost from the time of Napoleon, which went bust in 1997, I believe. There was a famous trader, Nissan, I think his name was, who later made a lot of money after jail term, just explained how he did it. So he just managed somehow to get to do something that internal system which takes care that people do not take too large positions in such simple forwards. Somehow managed to hide it. The bank was medium size, the losses were 1 billion, it went bust. So it's rather simple things. The problem is that unlike option, the upside, if you have to pay, you have to pay a lot. Here also you pay a lot. With put option, you never pay a lot, because it is always smaller than strike price. Call options, if you sell call option, can be dangerous. This is why people hedge. You believe that it's profitable for you, but you know that can be, it never will be absolutely profitable. So you hedge somehow, you construct portfolio which mainly, mostly hedges possible losses. Not all them, but most. Okay. So this exactly, just explain these words. Equivalent means that if under historic measure some events have non-zero probability, they must have non-zero probability under risk-neutral measure. You cannot use the measure which assigns zero values to non-zero events and the other way around. Surprisingly, in real life was the example when people did exactly this. It's a very interesting situation. Probably there are many situations like that, only nobody knows because banks don't reveal information. But it was quite a surprise for the board of UBS in May 1997, UBS, they suffered something like 5 billion losses. And they were so surprised because the bank prided himself that it's a very, very, very sophisticated bank which pays great attention to risk management. Now, it was why. Promised to make the results public. Somewhere in July, they did, and it was really a surprise. The reason was, there was a very clever trader who explained to the bosses that he will earn a lot of money for the bank. and on the paper he did, and he would get. So the amount was not far, probably much more, because even in bonuses he got something like 50 million. So this was very simple. They had external rule, external rule, which exactly allowed to replace historic measure with probability measure, which is not absolutely continuous. Triple A security? Never, never. All more than 2% today. And he started to construct portfolios which corresponded to this level. The prices of this portfolio certainly should have be different from the prices which are calculated for the real bank. Before it happened, the bank on the paper put it. When it happened, the portfolio simply disregarded any losses below. We construct something, well, exactly as real life. We construct something which may suffer these losses for compensation. It should have some gains here, right? Okay. On the paper, this doesn't exist. I have something which gives sure profit in the paper. It's exactly one real life. Before that, I thought that it was just, I understand mathematical reason, I thought that it was unrelated to real life. Maybe it happens all the time, at the point, because it's the only instance when it was made public. So you must be careful so your model agrees with the data. And as I mentioned in the passion, there is in the slides, those who are interested can look at this later. The prices which are provided by banks for barrier options do not agree with the measure, not only for underlying, even for European options. For European options, there is a huge amount of data. You calibrate the model, then you look at the model which bank prices which banks provide, means that banks use the probability measure, which is not absolutely continuous. In complicated situations, there was a continuous process to say, tell exactly. In this situation, it was very easy to say where was this arbitrage opportunity or seemingly arbitrage opportunity. I don't know exactly where it is. There must be somewhere. Because the measures which you infer from the prices of European options and the measure which you can infer looking at the prices which banks provides are not absolutely continuous. So there must be some events. Events it means you construct some portfolio which can get different realizations. You select the realizations. You construct some portfolio which corresponds to this realization. At some measure, it will be positive. At other measure, zero, which means that you can construct such portfolio somehow. How exactly, I don't know. I know if the event more or less I act more or less closely to the numbers that they provide, there must be a pressure. Okay. Just general definition. Once again, rewriting of the same formulas in a bit more different language, more general language. As I said, this kind of formulas is valid in many other situations, not only situation which I discussed. So, once again, expectation of payoffs. Payoff can be, God knows what, the cross might be different. Okay, this is just construction similar to the one for specialties. Only you work with a larger number of derivative securities. You want to replicate. The word replication doesn't appear now, but in fact it is replication. So this portfolio is something which is called replicating portfolio. this model, and the simplest models, such as Black-Scholes, you always can construct a replicating portfolio. And in the case of continuous time, you create all the time. These coefficients depend on time, but there is some rule how to change these coefficients as time evolves. And you can construct replicating portfolio if somebody wants to buy or sell a different price. In one case, you buy from this guy. If possible, you go short the prices in different. And calculations are similar for the simplest situation which I considered at the beginning. Okay. Now just general words, which I mentioned several times before, but they're really crucial to understand the meaning and to understand limitations, how it manifests itself in reality, how you can tweak and twist them, how you can approximately explain it. But at the formal level, the life is absolutely crazy. The whole point of the theory is to price contingent values. In the simplest model, when you really can price them, they're not needed. Because you can replace any contingent claim by securities, by portfolios of securities already traded in the market. From the logical point of view, the model is very crazy. Very crazy. So the real importance of Black-Scholes, not that it described reality correctly. The real importance is that the model created modern financial markets. Before that, nobody believed that it's something different from just a game of chance. So, this complete market, very beautiful, right? Now, one can quite easily construct incomplete markets in real life, like certain incomplete, which was understood a long time ago. Probably approximately exactly after this Black Monday in 1987. That was my reality there, incomplete. At the level of simplified models, you have the number of assets which is smaller than the number of securities. The number of the states in the future. Of course, in continuous time formulation becomes more difficult, but assets are approximately the same. And a number of years before last crash, people in industry try to sell, and finance try to sell the idea that the importance and usefulness of financial markets is that they create securities which make the markets closer to complete and which make life more riskless. Which, in fact, stopped to be true, apparently, as a matter of fact. 10 years ago, a lot of people continued to believe that the life is still beautiful, and amended. In fact, it was clear because of that, exactly because of creation of securities. Unlike theoretical model creation of new securities, which nobody trades, makes life, real life, much more complicated. It becomes much more difficult to actually price anything. Everything hinges on the assumption that everybody believes in the same system of prices, which, by the way, what happens in real life. In some publications, I saw statements by one of well-known at that time managing director of Merrill Lynch. Okay, from time to time, people in empirical finance change the old paradigm and they started to adjust somehow the understanding. After a while, they come to some general conclusion which is accepted. Everybody trades according to new perception. Then at some moment, life changes, and since everything relies on general perception can change instantly very fast. There's nothing surprising. And the more logic you have, the easier it is to lose confidence that you know what's going on. And the larger the amount of things which you train, the higher probability that the changes will be very, very serious. Okay, now just general conclusion. What is the difference between complete and complete market? Everything is beautiful. Everything can be calculated. Nobody can deviate from common system of prices. If somebody deviates versus him, he will lose money or will gain. Becomes sufficiently clever and notice that somebody uses a different system. There is something which a lot of people did during the first decades, before Black Monday, or even before a crash of long-term capital management. They still believe that they manage, they can manage to get rid of all risk and get this gains all the time. Now, something which I said already, the model becomes much more realistic. So here one cannot say that the model is crazy. Okay. Different people can use different models. You guess something more correct with another one, you can get money. It doesn't contradict anything. The question is how you manage to create sufficiently good model. But the idea of hedging and replication survives. It's approximation everybody uses. Even you see that you have some arbitrage opportunity, you know that if you do not do something in between, there is possibility that the life will change so that you will suffer huge losses and go bankrupt. So you invent some approximation to perfect hedging strategy, which is impossible, and make sure that you do not lose too much. So the real, the something which happens in reality is like this one. You always have profit-loss distribution. So there is distribution. Ideally, you want to have something like that. This is profit-loss. Profit-loss distribution. When you distribution, you was positive at profits, here negative loss. You want something on average you gain. Of course, sometimes you can lose something. When you try to create additional portfolio, hedge. Okay, so that this part becomes as small as possible. Ideally, if you can allow that the smell is larger than Bristol, you always can. If the counterparty from which you buy protection is not bankrupt, you simply can buy protection. So once I suffer reinsurance, if I suffer losses more than a certain amount, you will pay me this loss. I will pay in the beginning, you will pay me this. In the beginning, I will put something, then I make sure that this is not. In reality, there is always this profit loss distribution, and you do something in order to make the losses sufficiently small that you can tolerate those losses they have. This is the role of hedging portfolio. Instead of direct insurance, you can construct this approximate hedge by yourself. Okay. Now, once again, I think I already talked all about this point, but since they're fundamental, nothing that will happen if the historical reality measures something which you can expect. So you can buy the data for exchange rates for number of years, not extremely expensive. Your students here can buy them for several hundred dollars, or maybe less than 200. There is some office, there is Bloomberg terminal here somewhere, each university has something like that. Certainly, you much smaller university than here at Leicester, there was Bloomberg terminal. You can buy this. This data, you can somehow get sufficiently accurate idea what this is doing. Moreover, if the question is about vanilla options, you also can get data for those options and calibrate your model to these options as well. More complicated options, it is impossible. And if you invent model to price more complicated things, you must be sure that there is no serious difference between one and another. In principle, there always can be some formal arbitrage opportunity just because there are transaction costs. There is always beta spread. One should not expect that must be perfect agreement. It should be not too much so that the price is calculated according to one model will not be too different from real prices, which agree historic measure. Now, just several things using just very simple two and three period models. Once again, the beauty of these two models that they really explain the main ideas. The next question is how general it is. The next step is just discrete time model. Discrete time model where the same results are obtained using general results from linear algebra. To my surprise, just before the talk looked when this Farkas-Minkowski lemma was proved only in 1902, so rather recent one, because the general theory was just several decades before that, just appropriate. So, just simple situation, instead of two assets you have k, instead of two or three states of the nature you have omega, and the assumption is that your matrix consists of linearly independent columns. No asset is redundant because if one of the assets can be represented as a linear combination, what's the point of using it? You can throw it away and replicate it by portfolio existing assets. Okay. Now you have just this very simple, it's not exactly the form of Farkas Minkowski's theorem because the inexact inequality is a bit different. Instead of exact inequality in Sabine, there is inexact inequality. And in the case I of course, on the other hand, it can be zero. On the other hand, in case I, but it's the same idea as the proof. So what is the mean? So just general mathematical result, which was derived not having financial markets is real, but mathematically, if you really understand what's going on, something relevant, mathematically relevant. So, in the case I have this W is your arbitrage portfolio. Ah, so, sorry, I mentioned it incorrectly. I need to just try to simplify standard form to squeeze it on one slide. Because instead of this D, one works with augmented matrix and W. So here it is, in fact, I somehow wrote it incorrectly, one minus W. This W must have additional dimensions, so WS plus this. So just make sure just the first thought, because I do not use this thing ever, so I cannot guarantee that I will correct it on this spot. So there is, this thing should be correct. I looked at it and tried to explain why it should be arbitrage portfolio, and this is not the case. It should, instead of this thing, should be something like that. You can buy something short, if it was an investment to this one, this zero, and there is something incorrect here. I try to rewrite standard thing so that it's small and I don't need to introduce this matrix. So in fact, everything is expressed in terms of this matrix, so I can make it interesting to choose this matrix. There is some question, but in any case, there is similar expression in terms of this matrix, and then this portfolio gives you something which you the component which multiplies by this one, something which you do today, this is what you do tomorrow. The layout of portfolio is positive. If you take into account today or tomorrow, it's positive. So instead of this one, I need to of course this account decide that. So this gives you arbitrage of duty. If not arbitrage of duty, you can construct this probability measure. And the construction is rather straightforward. First of all, yes.
Are you near a stopping point? Are you near a stopping point?
Yes, I just will stop this one. The rest is just for those who want to see how it works in continuous. This is there for the straight one.
Okay.
Just it was in, you declare one of the assets numerator, because something this is bond. And you just take one unit of this bond, something like that. The price is one in the beginning, the price is expressed in terms of pairs in the future like this one, which means that you can consider all these numbers as probabilities. All are positive, the sum is one. Those are probabilities which you use to price any security. Expectation, you discount by using this last security which you declare is with bond, and you price everything as expectation under this measure of discount. This is the idea at the level of discrete time models for period. If you have n period, you do something mathematically very similar. But instead of statistics which consist today, tomorrow, you have arbitrary number of self-finance statistics. So each time you do it, if you borrow something, you spend it on your construction, etc. And mathematically, it's equivalent to the situation only it's the matrices and vectors are more involved. Your vectors are strategies, etc. Multidimensional, but mathematically it's the same length, nothing new. In continuous time, it's more technical, the level of my notions is the same. Okay, so if somebody wants to ask something, and once again, it remains here, so if somebody wants to look at continuous time things, which are listed here, or plan, one can read it later.
So are there examples of securities that you cannot hedge, essentially? Like
absolutely everything. You cannot hedge anything at all. Okay, you can hedge, but it makes everything sense. In real life, if you have the incomplete market, which are incomplete, even simplest jump diffusion matter, Ligier models are incomplete. Suppose you have this European put in this pair. The only way to hedge it against any possible, you don't know what the real model is, right? You don't know. The only way for you to hedge this portfolio is, so you sell this option, so you promise to give it. If you want to avoid any losses in the future, you must, before you sell it, buy the stock. So you suffer this loss. You sell this option, you must have the stock in your portfolio. If you have something different, there are always dynamics which will give you which may lead to your losses. Not always, but there is always non-zero probability. This is just, once again, very simple extension of Black-Scholes model. If you simply add jumps to your diffusion, still very simple model, already you have this already. It's enough. You cannot do anything about it. An example of something which is called super hedge. Okay, but all the super hedges are absolutely senseless. In practice, you simply try to do something approximate. Once again, there is absolutely no real general theory. So there are formally theoretical theories. They are either impractical or they are formulated as something practical, but I'm perfectly sure on the basis of just accurate analytical calculations that you cannot expect them to work Well, ever. There is something which called static hedge. It's arranged extremely crazy. Because the very notion was derived at the level of hand waving of diffusion, so nothing changes by a jump. About 20 years ago, yes, 21, 22, static hedge. And so you rebalance your portfolio from time to time and you hedge, for instance, by your options. There are some form of arguments where it should more or less work. There is another version which uses the representation of Kreyov by Kreyov as integral of infinitely many prices of European options. What's the point to start from integral which even has some very nasty density, which the companions do not analyze? If you have an analytical background, you see it instantly. So it's approximation and simply cannot do it. So you invent some kind of approximation and you use it somehow. So the best which I can say is at the level of up, and I do not believe that this up works well because people who claim that they use it, as they explain how they use it, it cannot work. Because they start with approximation, which is bad. Once again, here is the problem. Most of the people who work in finance either do not have math background at all, or they have simply purely probabilistic background, so they do not feel this analytical subject is what most of them. And then they start playing somehow. A lot of people, as I notice, as a referee, since if somebody publishes this some procedure, they start to believe that it's something almost exact as if it's some Newton law. It is already published in good financial journals, so we can use it. Right? But we're talking about financial journals. There is three major journals in finance. One is regarded as a bit more fundamental than the other two, although a bit less technical, which is called Journal of Finance. My daughter was in joined finance and economics program. She was the first PhD student of this kind, University of Chicago. Finance department, they had a seminar each week. Reading seminar. Each week, professor gave the six papers in German finance. And the homework was explained why all these papers are bullshit. No, I noticed it myself. About 20 years ago, you can try to find it. I just don't remember what it was, but by curious, certainly it must be possible to find it. So the paper about calculation of the price of American options. It's a free boundary problem, and since the first generation of people in finance work exactly with equations, not with expectations. So they thought about everything in terms of free boundary problems. So when you solve a non-stopping problem, if you learn it from a mathematical point of view, you solve free boundary problem. There is a standard trick which works for diffusion. You find free boundary problem using condition that the derivative of the price at this boundary with respect to the underlying is zero. It's called smooth plastic. The abstract to this paper started as follows. So people find exercise boundary by using this smooth space sequence. We'll start using it condition the derivative. It has the name theta in finance equals zero. If you understand mathematics, you know that at the free boundary this condition should not hold. Paper published in the top journal. The guy invented the new way to correction. Correct to correct. Correction. some other friends, we can give the reference of the paper, I forgot what it was, but it's not something somebody told me, I read. Polish paper, it's very difficult to talk, extremely difficult. So, level of rejection, maybe 95%, maybe
99%. Any other questions?
Somebody really wants to do something, but it requires time. Roughly speaking, if somebody really is interested, if somebody really does something according to these lines, which I do things, papers can be published quite easily. Students who publish papers can get to very good places. My daughter was here and she exactly did the interesting thing is that since I somehow was here at that point and did not, I forgot somehow some general algebraic ideas which I knew quite well 20 years before that, but she found them just plain nothing. Nothing reasonable happened. Eventually, she just for some simple example did calculations on MATLAB and produced some necessary result for the spheres and understood how it should be done in general. We did that. She was a BC student here, by the way, 10 or 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. 12 years ago it was. So when the paper was published, the paper is even cited in the one of the most basic textbook about interest rate models, there are only 168 references, this paper is there. You can check Vahilikovich about for graduate students interest rate models, this paper is cited here. It is just that I don't know what it is. Delete it after that something more, first edition of the work. Okay, when paper was published, one guy from hedge fund phoned me and asked if he was a relevant, the other from Algorithmics, big software firm. Later I met this guy at the conference, asked why he was interested. Was the paper of interest to them? He said, oh, no, but it was seen that she can do something. It's not many people nowadays who really can do something. In my time it was different. I wrote the first paper when I was sophomore. Some people wrote it in the first year. System was different then. You know, it's rather rare event. Somehow the life has changed. It was presumed that students start writing papers first, second, third year. It's the latest. Not very complicated, but this field is not complicated. So, if somebody is not afraid of doing not extremely difficult calculations and learn something in the right programs, we are in a rather unpleasant situation. As I said, we had one generation of methods which were better than other methods. They wrote a lot of papers and programs. Then the second generation, now the third one. At least with the second generation, there was some fundamental differences. Now the difference are not fundamental, the results differ significantly. It was very serious that we do not understand that there was better change of